For BBS Radio, this is Lexi Roth with Health Frontiers. The topic of vaccine-induced diseases is one that is consistently ignored by the mainstream media. Tonight, our guest is Dr. Rebecca Carley, the nation's foremost expert on vaccines and the numerous health problems they cause. Good evening, Dr. Carley.
Good evening, Lexi. Thank you for having me on the broadcast.
Well, it's so great to have you. It's always nice to have people who aren't afraid to tell the truth. It's
Amen.
Refreshing. I want you to tell our listeners, you know, give a little bit of your background in allopathic medicine, and tell how you started getting, let's say, enlightened about what goes on in hospitals, and then how you finally evolved to the research about vaccines.
Well, I was actually trained as a surgeon, and I worked as a general surgeon and a attending in emergency medicine at Kings County Hospital in Brooklyn, which is the most busy hospital, as far as I know, in the country, if not the world, in trauma. And it was actually at that institution that I started to see a number of things that were, shall we say, red flags to myself in terms of what was going on in medicine. And I highlight the last syllable of that word when I say that. In terms of experimental surgery and things being done to people without their knowledge or consent, and there was a lot of problems in that institution in regards to research fraud and other things that were happening. And that's what eventually left me to leave surgery. But it was my own son's experience. I was a very good robot, and I got my son all his inoculations as he was scheduled to get. I didn't have my son till late in life. He was a miracle baby to me. I had him when I was 41 years old, and I got him all his inoculations, and I didn't realize that he had a problem until I went to see a naturopath for some problems that I had, and she told me about different homeopathic remedies, and of course I'd never heard the word naturopath or homeopathy in medical school, but she happened to mention that there were homeopathic remedies that could reverse vaccine damage, and it was after I gave my son these remedies that I saw that he became a different child. And that's when I realized that my son had, in fact, been brain damaged from inoculations, and I used these remedies on myself and my pet, and that's what started me on the road to reversing vaccine-induced diseases almost 10 years ago. And I've done that in not only people, but in pets all over the world. And this is what made me realize that vaccine-induced diseases are, in fact, the biggest epidemic the world has ever known. And I was actually made an expert in vaccine-induced diseases in a court in Bronx, New York, a couple of years ago. So that was a miracle. But I have a couple of papers on my website, drcarley.com, drcarley.com, which I encourage the listeners to read. One of them is Inoculations, the True Weapons of Mass Destruction, in which I describe how the inoculations corrupt the immune system. And the other one is my response to the CDC's Health Protection Research Guide, which actually goes back into the medical books themselves and reveals how they're actually, you know, admitting that the inoculations are causing all the demyelinating diseases, which is encompassing the entire field of neurology, and it's not just neurology, it's all of the autoimmune diseases. But
wait a minute, what is demyelinating diseases? What does that mean?
Okay, I'm sorry, I have call waiting. Myelin is a substance that is surrounding the nerves. The way that I explain it is that myelin is to the nerve, what the plastic coating is to the electrical cords. And if you do not have myelin surrounding the nerves, just like if you don't have the plastic coating surrounding the electrical cords, you do not get proper conduction of the electrical impulses. And what happens with demyelinating diseases is that the antibodies against myelin, which is a basic protein that can actually be destroyed by these antibodies, when there's holes punched into it by the antibodies, it actually causes a problem in electrical nerve impulse, and this is what causes all of the nerve damage and all of the demyelinating diseases, and this includes autism, MS, Guillain-Barré, Tourette syndrome, Parkinson's disease, Lou Gehrig's disease. If you go to my website, drcrowley.com, and click on the third diagram, which explains the vaccine damage, at the bottom of the page, I list all the neurological problems which are caused by the vaccines, you know, causing a demyelinating process.
Well, what are some of the case histories that you've come across? And, you know, since you've been, I know you have a very different kind of practice now. You might want to talk about that first. I mean, you've obviously left the medical profession. You know?
Right. Well, I'm now a teacher, and I teach people how to reverse their diseases based on the Hippocrates protocol that I've developed. And this protocol actually teaches people how to detoxify themselves. I primarily use homeopathic nosos as well as other remedies and nutritional supplements that repair the immune system and repair the damage to the body. But I you know, basically there's many different case histories, too numerous to mention. I will be having some of them on my website soon. My website is being reconstructed. I've reversed every autoimmune disease that you can imagine, as well as cancer, with my protocol. And that's when I realized that it is primarily the corruption of the immune system caused by inoculations which is causing the main problem in our world today. And I'll just explain it briefly to the listeners, although it's explained in my paper, Inoculations, the True Weapons of Mass Destruction, in more detail. But what the inoculations do when they're injected into you is they bypass a very important immunoglobulin called IgA, which is crucial in our response, our immune response, in order to get us to the point where we can fight off diseases on a natural immunity basis down the line. And when you have viruses inoculated right into you, into your bloodstream, this is bypassed. And what it does is it shuts off the T cells. The T cells, the way I explain it, those are the Pac-Man cells that are supposed to gobble up the bacteria, viruses, and tumor cells in your body. And it makes the B cells, which make antibody, go into hyperdrive. And this is actually aided by the adjuvants in vaccines. Adjuvants are something which make the antibody response be highly elevated. And this is done on purpose, but you can't have both arms of the immune system working simultaneously. So when the T cells are paralyzed, the B cells go crazy, and when the B cells make antibody, the only thing that determines what autoimmune disease you end up getting is what area of your body is being attacked. And if it's your lungs, you get asthma. If it's your pancreas, you get diabetes. If it's your joints, you get arthritis. If it's your thymus gland, you get myasthenia gravis. If it's your DNA itself, you get lupus. And if it's your brain, you get a multitude of problems, including autism, Tourette's, Guillain-Barré, et cetera, et cetera.
Wow. Well, why is it that, you know, it seems like some people aren't affected by vaccines? I mean, I know I took, and I guess it was 1962, somewhere around there, and I got typhoid. I mean, I was absolutely sick as a dog.
From the vaccine?
From the vaccine, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some people can take these flu shots and it doesn't bother them. And, you know, it seems like that some people are affected and some people aren't. I think I shared the case with my friend whose son was given DPT shots when he had a cold. And he screamed all night.
Yeah.
And the next morning he was a vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, why is it that affects some kids and doesn't affect others? And why, you know, that's kind of it's confusing.
Okay, first of all, it affects everyone.
Okay.
What determines how much it affects you is the constitution of your body, which is your immune system. And that is what you inherit from your parents. There's very few diseases which are actually inherited from your parents. I could mention them, the ones that I'm aware of on one hand, which is cystic fibrosis, polycystic kidneys. There's a few cases of Huntington's chorea that are inherited. But most of the diseases that are prevalent in our society today, it's not that the gene is inherited. it's that you inherit a weak link in your immune system. And if you go to the first diagram on my website, which I call the big picture, that actually explains everything. Because the reason that we get diseases is that we have a number of assaults on our immune system. And those assaults include vaccinations, different allopathic drugs, surgery, which actually takes out vital organs from your body, chemicals, pesticides, fluoride, even psychic assaults, legal abuse, et cetera, et cetera. And once you get to critical mass, that's when your body develops an immune response, a symptom that's going to tell you that you have a problem. And the only thing that determines how much it's going to take for you to develop that response is how strong your immune system is. So my answer to that question is that everybody's being affected. And if you read my response to the CDC, you will actually see where the medical books themselves say that the vaccines actually give you a latent form of the disease, and the viruses sit in your body, and they mutate, and they wait until you have another trauma, which is going to cause you to have an immune assault to the point that they can manifest themselves. So the answer is they affect everybody. If you don't have a disease yet, it's only because you haven't had enough assaults. You will get there if you don't detoxify yourself.
So in other words, it could be 10 or 20 years later.
Yes, and the medical books themselves talk about cases of Parkinson's that have occurred 25 years after vaccination. If your immune system is strong, it's going to fight these viruses and other immune assaults. But you never know what's going to be the final straw that breaks the camel's back. It could be a phone call that your mother's died, or you could go into a department store and get cologne spritzed on you and develop chemical sensitivities. You never know what's going to be that final assault that's going to push you over the edge.
Well, do you know, like, for instance, if, say, polio vaccine may cause other things other than polio, or, say,
yes,
the typhoid vaccine may cause other, that, you know, that is, it's known what specific diseases can be caused by these individual vaccines. Has anyone ever researched that?
Well, certainly the government hasn't researched that, but in my experience, the polio vaccine, besides causing polio, and the CDC's vaccine information statements themselves actually state that the oral polio vaccine causes polio. And that's the reason that it was finally stopped, is because for the last 15 years it was given, the only way you could get polio was from the polio vaccine. But it's not just the polio itself. There's all kinds of other contaminants that are in the polio vaccine, for example, such as the SV40 virus, which is a cancer-causing virus that was actually found in the culture cells, the monkey kidneys that were used to culture the polio virus, had this very carcinogenic virus within them, and so it caused cancer as well as causing polio. But there's all kinds of contaminants and possible other things. In other words, I've reached the point where I don't believe that these things are just contaminants. It's kind of obvious that there's a population reduction at hand. So sometimes there's things put in the vaccines on purpose. Sometimes there's things put in there which just happened to cause a problem, but the end result of it all is that it's causing the biggest epidemic of disease the world has ever known. And it doesn't matter what the contaminant is. The effect in the person could be different for each person, and it depends on what your individual immune response is as to how you will be able to handle all these poisons.
Huh. Well, can you name some of the other things that can come, like, say, from just the plain DPT shot? What are some of the things that are the offshoots of the DPT shot?
Well, vaccines have a number of things in them which are not contaminants but are put in there on purpose. One of them is a preservative. Everybody's heard of thimerosal, which is primarily made out of mercury, which is a heavy metal. And they're blaming this on all of the neurological conditions, especially autism. Autism is not caused by mercury, but it certainly is a toxic poison that should not be injected into human beings. And there's a lot of information coming out now in the dental community where they're talking about how the mercury in amalgam fillings is also causing a problem. There's also the adjuvant, as I said, Aluminum hydroxide is used in many inoculations. Squalene was used
What is aluminum hydroxide?
It's an adjuvant that causes the B cells to make more antibody and makes the B cells go crazy. And as I said, the B cells cannot be turned on unless the T cells are put to rest. And so when the B cells go crazy and make all this antibody, it's causing all kinds of autoimmune problems. And I have research from Scandinavian country, I believe it was Sweden, where they actually found that just injecting the adjuvant itself caused a tumor in the skin made of B cells because of the fact that the adjuvant was making the B cells go crazy. So there's adjuvant, there's heavy metals, there's formaldehyde. If the vaccines contain viruses which are, as they call, inactivated, which means they're supposed to be not alive and not able to cause disease, if they're in the vaccine in that state, the only way they can be kept without decomposing is to be put in formaldehyde, which is a carcinogenic toxin in itself, and that's what they inject into dead people to keep them from decomposing.
Oh, I know.
So that's another contaminant which is put into vaccines on purpose. In other words, it's not really a contaminant because they're putting it in there in order to keep the viruses from decomposing. So that's one of the other things that is put into vaccines. You also have lipids put into vaccines. And if you look up the term lipovaccine in the medical dictionary, you will see that that term actually means that there are things put into vaccines to delay the introduction of the antigenic substance into the person. And when I read that term, I asked myself, well, why would they want to delay the introduction into the person? And of course, the reason is because if you put a lipid, if you put something in a vaccine into a lipid molecule and it's not able to be broken down for a period of time, then when you develop a disease from that, whatever it is that's in the lipid, you will not have a realization that it was caused by the vaccine because it happened so far down the line from you getting the vaccine that you would, you know, just say, well, it can't possibly be a vaccine reaction because it happened 10, 20, whatever years later. And apparently that's the reason they're putting it in lipid molecules. Mm-hmm. And there's all kinds of other things, too. As I said, oncogenic monkey viruses, the SV40 that's in the polio vaccine from monkey kidneys. There's also carcinogenic enzymes that are present, especially in the hepatitis B vaccine, Mycoplasma incognitus, which is the major plague that's affecting the Gulf War soldiers. And I just want to clarify that there's two different problems with the Gulf War soldiers. There's the Gulf War plague, which is caused by the vaccines and the mycoplasma therein. But there's also Gulf War syndrome, which is caused by many different things being done to the soldiers, including depleted uranium and aspartame that they're being fed, and gold pills and gold pills is a drug that the soldiers are given to keep them awake so that they can, you know, work 24/7.
Oh, I see.
And there's also anti-malaria drugs that have been found to cause a problem. There's all kinds of things that are being done to the soldiers to make them, you know, basically totally immune, depleted, and in many cases mentally ill to the point where they will kill their own families. And there's all kinds of things going on along those regards.
Wow. Well, what about just the normal, say, DPT shots? At one time, they used to just give the diphtheria and the typhoid and the tetanus, but now they package it together. And then I understand that there's even more serums that are being included in these shots so that when babies go in, they're getting like 10 or 20 different kinds of germs shot into their body.
Yes. Well, a few years ago, they actually developed an acellular pertussis vaccine, which they said was going to cause less problems because, of course, the pertussis vaccine itself was causing all kinds of not only diseases but autoimmune problems as well. But the problem that I run into on a regular basis is that these pediatricians are so brain dead. I've had children get up to 10 vaccines on one day.
Okay.
And what happens is you're getting all these different antigens injected into you. And in many cases, just like you said with your friend, the child may have a cold or the flu. And by the physician's death reference itself, they say that you should not get an inoculation if you have any kind of, you know, infection going on. But the pediatricians will still carry on with your inoculations regardless. So you already have some kind of immune assault being handled by the body, and then you go into the pediatrician and they start shooting you up with all these different inoculations. And of course, it's gotten so insane that there's a minion by the name of Paul Offit, associated with the American Pediatrics Association, who actually said that the children should be able to handle at least 10,000 vaccines at one time.
Oh,
and it's totally insane. And of course, you're much better off being caught or sneezed on by some relative and getting the infection in the way that the creator meant you to get the infection, so that it's handled by your upper respiratory and GI tract, and the IgA that I mentioned previously is involved, and that way you will get lifelong natural immunity. But they also commonly inject you, as I said, with multiple inoculations, and this is how you get all kinds of autoimmune problems as well as cancer.
Well, what, you know, is that what measles and, you know, remember all the measles, German measles and all red measles and everything that used to come along in children's childhood that I don't hear about as much anymore? Wasn't that just a function of nature to build the immune system?
Yes. Well, basically, when you get these infections, that is a creator's way of building your immune system. And so that's what it's supposed to be in order for you to have a working immune system and get lifelong natural immunity, is for you to get these infections. But when they inject them into you, it corrupts the immune system.
Well, what can people do? I mean, they're forcing kids in schools now to have vaccinations, and what can we do not to have to be forced to take them?
Well, what you do is you stand up and you say that I'm not going to take these inoculations anymore, and you just refuse to do so. And what I'm doing with my clients is actually teaching them about a vaccine voucher that I've developed, where you basically say, I will agree to get the inoculations, but only if the person forcing the inoculation agrees to take personal responsibility for any death or disability that results from the inoculation. And they will never agree to do that because they know that the vaccines are causing all these problems. So the people have to decide for themselves that they're not going to go forward with this. And of course, the bird flu vaccine is one of the vaccines that's up and coming, as they put in articles in the paper every day trying to scare us that the bird flu is coming. Of course, the main way the bird flu is going to be a problem is by inoculating it into the people.
Well, I just heard a report on actually NPR this week that the bird flu is not advancing as quickly as they've anticipated, and that they don't now even think that it's coming from birds themselves. They think it's coming from the fecal matter from the bird, that it's being used as a fertilizer for various farms. And that's where it's happening, because if they're mixing the fecal matter in with other fertilizers, which I'm sure are distributed by Monsanto, that are filled with numerous harmful chemicals, and they're just creating more poisons in the land. You know?
Well, it's funny that they're admitting that the bird flu is not going to be coming from the birds, because they're actually feeding bird fecal matter to fish, for example. The farm raised fish are actually fed bird fecal matter. That's what they're eating. So there's all kinds of strange things going on. But there's also the problem that the birds that are being found to have bird flu are the domesticated birds in Asia and other places, and those birds have actually been inoculated with the bird flu. So the way the birds are getting the bird flu is from the inoculations.
This is so fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when you think about the circle, you know, the profit circle,
mm-hmm.
that happens around these viruses, you know, they give us diseases, they give us the vaccine, we get the disease, and then they give us another dose of harmful chemicals that, you know, and the profit picture is just, it's just astounding.
Well, that's how the pharmaceutical cartels stay in business.
Yes, I know.
Yes.
It's pretty scary.
It's evil. It's pure evil.
It is very evil. Well, you know, do you know, I mean, I'm seeing so much autism right now, Rebecca, in,
mm-hmm.
in young children. And kids who, you know, I have a friend right now, one of my son's children, her son's friend's children. And she's 2 years old. She hasn't said a word yet. Now, I don't know, when my children were little, my daughter was making sentences when she was a year old. She would have a conversation with you when she was 2 years old.
Yes.
And I keep telling my son, there's something wrong with this child. She needs to be tested or, you know,
no.
And I think
she doesn't need to be tested. She needs to be detoxed from her vaccine.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, she should be talking at this point. And that's what's happening all over the country, and that just proves that in your family, the neurological system is a primary weakness. And if the vaccine viruses are detoxed and the autoimmune response to the myelin is reversed, the problem will be reversed. And you have to wonder, why are they allowing this to happen? Once again, I want to mention the paper on my website. That's the response I wrote to the CDC, where I actually mention in the medical books themselves where they talk about the demyelinating diseases. And in the case of the disease which is sudden infant death syndrome, which the medical books call acute hemorrhagic necrotizing encephalomyelitis, they actually admit that the animal model for this disease is created by injecting the pertussis vaccine into the animals. So you see, they know exactly what's going on.
Wow.
And this is what's so evil about the whole process, is that apparently there's an agenda afoot to create a whole generation of children that have no neurological capacity to think or to speak. All they can do is work at Walmart and McDonald's.
And you really feel that that's what they're doing?
It's self-evident to me. Because they know. And the fact that they go after doctors like myself who are doing work to reverse the problem just brings the point home. And the fact that they don't mention homeopathy or any such thing in medical school, and they don't teach doctors how to heal anything. They only teach you how to manage disease and give drugs, which are actually causing multiple side effects in the people.
Well, I mean, that's obvious by the television commercials. I mean, they put all these drugs on the television,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and then you hear 20 different things that can, you know, liver
right.
damage, dizziness,
yeah.
You know, pregnant women are, I mean, it's comical.
It'll help
really.
You sleep, but you'll get diarrhea and,
that's right.
Right.
And it's just,
GI bleeding and all. I always laugh when I hear these commercials. I say, yeah, I'll take two, right?
Okay. Right. I mean, you can laugh, but it's pretty sad. And what I don't understand is why our government is allowing pharmaceutical companies to put drugs on the market that they know harm people and advertise them on national television.
Well, the answer is self-evident, because our representatives in the District of Criminals are nothing but prostitutes, and they take money from these individuals that work for these different companies to allow this to happen. I mean, it's self-evident. The FDA has allowed different drugs such as hormone replacement therapy and Vioxx and Celebrex. There's been a lot of drugs that have been in the mainstream media over the recent past couple of years that have been killer drugs, and the FDA allowed them onto the market. Why did they allow them onto the market? Because the powers that be were paying off the Federal Drug Administration, the fraudulent drug administration, as I call them. While they're attacking supplements. There was just an article in the Florida Today newspaper that I get here in Florida where they said how the government-sponsored studies are showing that echinacea and ginkgo biloba and different products that are sold in health food stores are supposedly not helpful to people, and they can't understand why the people are still buying this. These supplements to the tune of billions of dollars. Apparently, the people know that the fraudulent drug administration is being bought off, and different supplements that are in food products made by the creator are the way that we're supposed to heal ourselves, just like Hippocrates said over 2,000 years ago. You know, food will be your medicine, and
medicine
will
be
your
food.
Food.
That's right.
Yes, and that's the truth. The drugs are synthetic. They are actually containing some kind of a chemical moiety that allows them to be patented, and that is the problem that makes them a contaminant in the body that causes all the side effects.
Wait a minute. Say that again. I didn't understand that.
In order for a drug to be patented, it has,
yeah,
it has to be special. It has to have something within it that allows it to be patented.
Okay.
And what that special thing is a chemical moiety, which just means some chemical subgroup that makes it different from something found in nature. That's what allows it to be patented. That's also what makes it cause all the side effects. You know, that's the reason why ginkgo biloba and echinacea and different things like that cannot be patented, because they're found in nature. So all the companies that make these products, they may have different, you know, strengths of the different active ingredients within them, but they can't be patented because they're made by God. And
right.
So the chemical companies, the pharmaceutical companies, find something to add to it which makes it different. But that difference always makes it cause the side effects. But
oh,
that's
so in other
also
words,
what allows
they might, in other words, they might, say, take echinacea and use some derivative of that and then add a toxin to it.
Yes, that's exactly what they do,
right,
to make it patentable. Because it's only by patenting it that they can charge, you know, 200,000 times what it's worth in terms of the active ingredient and make it into a drug and sell it to you.
Right. I mean, I've been, you know, doing holistic writing for about 25 years, and I interviewed a doctor in North Carolina who had been using honey, just simple honey,
mm-hmm,
after surgery. He had a patient that was had uterine surgery, and she,
mm-hmm,
developed gangrene, and it was so intense he didn't know what to do about it, and he decided to swab her uterus with honey, and within 3 days her wounds were completely healed. She was released from the hospital,
mm-hmm,
and I interviewed the nurse, his head nurse, who had been with him in surgery for over 30 years, and she said of all the doctors in that hospital that he was the only doctor that never had post-op infection, just from a simple thing like honey.
Right.
You know, and,
well,
and they never educate the public or any of us to know these things, that, that we can avoid these toxic chemicals or, you know, antibiotic creams or whatever it is that, that they're, you know, distributing that are $30 and $50 a pop. And all you have to do is, if you get a wound, is put honey on it and it heals.
Well, not only that, but if he had advertised or promulgated the fact that he had used honey to help this infection, they would have gone after him and taken away his license.
Right.
And that's what people have to realize. The doctors who are actually healing diseases are being attacked and persecuted, and the ones who are killing people, be it, you know, by medical errors.
And chemotherapy or iatrogenic medicines.
Right.
Or,
those doctors, you know, are protected because they're doing what they're supposed to do. They're giving their patients prescription drugs, and as long as they do so, it doesn't matter if it's unintentional or intentional homicide, they will be protected.
Well, and I think we had talked about this at an earlier time, is, you know, and if there's any, you know, hospital accidents, they very cleverly lose all the records so they can't be held responsible. I mean, I've heard those cases over and over again.
Yes.
Rebecca, talk to us a little bit about what happened with you. You were talking about when you worked in the hospital and how elderly patients were being operated on, having surgeries that they didn't need. And how is it that so many hospital doctors are willing to turn their back and not expose this kind of thing?
Well, the answer to that question was brought home to me when I found out the documentation that proved that the government made the AIDS virus. And I brought that documentation to my own medical doctor because I used to go for my yearly physical and get testing and things of that nature. And I brought that documentation to my doctor, and I showed him that the government made the AIDS virus. And his answer to me is, or was, what does he care because he has a Mercedes in his driveway?
That he actually gave you that answer?
Yes. That was Dr. Surrender Shaw in Plainview, New York. And that was when I realized that they all know what's going on. As a matter of fact, when I went to my 10th reunion from medical school, I went to medical school at State University of New York, Downstate Medical Center in Brooklyn, and I graduated in 1987. And in 1997, I went to my 10th reunion, and I brought the same documentation with me to show my fellow medical school graduates, and they all knew. I was the last one to find out, as it turns out. And you see...
You mean they all knew that AIDS had been manufactured?
Yes. And
really?
That's when I realized that they don't care. They don't care because they are making money. They have a Mercedes in their driveway. And it, not only do they not care because of that reason, you see, they have a choice to make. Should I speak up and lose the Mercedes in my driveway? I have an 18-year-old Chrysler in my driveway. Or shall I speak up and be persecuted? Because it's not just a matter of, you know, not making a lot of money by managing disease. Once you start healing people, you're going to have a problem. The medical mafia will come after you, and they will try to take away everything you have. As a matter of fact, the medical mafia has its own CIA within itself, and they will come after people like myself, and they have murdered doctors like me and done different things in order to stop them. So it's a matter of selling out for cash.
Well,
in many ways.
Let's talk about cancer for a minute.
Yes.
Because obviously chemotherapy and radiation does not heal cancer. It detours it, shall we say, for about 5 years, and then inevitably it comes back in the body. And my experience is that the doctors literally frighten people, thinking, you know, telling them you're going to die. And in my years of research and observation, cancer is a signal that the body is out of balance. And
yes.
I've always believed that there was a natural way to heal cancer without frying somebody or poisoning
yes.
them to death. So let's talk about that a little bit. I mean, how I know you have a background in researching natural cures for cancer.
Yes.
And what has been your, you know, your research over the last few years?
My wake-up call in regards to cancer came when I was introduced to a man by the name of Dr. William Kelly, who was lost his life under suspicious circumstances last year, a dentist who cured over 33,000 cases of cancer in the last 40 years, including his own terminal pancreatic cancer. He actually researched the subject and found that in 1911, a man by the name of John Beard had discovered the fact that cancer is caused by a cell called a trophoblast cell. This is a cell that's created when you're conceived. The trophoblasts form the placenta, but a number of trophoblasts go throughout the body and get ingrained in different organ systems, and this is something we're not taught in medical school. And they sit there until you're assaulted with different carcinogenic assaults, be they chemicals, radiation, or whatever. And Dr. John Beard discovered the cause and cure of cancer in 1911. And Dr. William Kelly had used that in all his clients, and the answer to that problem is digestive enzymes, especially a digestive enzyme which contains something called chymotrypsin, which actually kills the trophoblast cells and prevents them from forming cancer cells. The reason Dr. Kelly called me to come and lecture with him in Texas a few years ago is because he had developed a decrease in his success rate, and he realized that was because of all the different carcinogens in the environment. And so he wanted me to teach others how to detoxify themselves in addition to killing these trophoblast cells with digestive enzymes. So it's a combination of these cells that are sitting in the body waiting to form cancer cells, and then you're assaulted with different chemicals that are carcinogenic promoters that actually cause the cancer cells to get going. And if your immune system is corrupted by vaccines, and the T cells that are supposed to gobble up the cancer cells are not working, then the cancer cells, you know, basically multiply and form a tumor. And now it's gotten much more sophisticated because the government, through the Special Virus Cancer Project, is also making viruses that cause cancer. So it's gotten really out of control, and the war on cancer has actually become a war to cause cancer, and that's why the cancer rate is increasing and not decreasing.
Rebecca, what
Yes.
you're telling me is that the government is actually manufacturing cancer viruses?
Yes. And this is documented in the National Cancer Institute Special Virus Cancer Program documents, which started in the late 60s, and I have many different documents, probably I think 7 or 8 of them, which are each about 400 pages of all the viruses they've made to cause cancer. Yes.
Now, why would they do that other than to control population? I mean, is there a really sane reason for them doing that?
Well, I leave that to all the listeners to figure out. Why would they do that? Besides controlling populations, are they making money off giving people chemotherapy and radiation and causing them to undergo different surgeries to allegedly cure their cancers? What other reason is there? It's self-evident.
Well, that's pretty frightening, and it just takes the level of evil to a new horizon.
Yes, it does.
It's amazing.
Yes.
Just amazing. Well, I wanted to get back because I wanted you to go over the idea about the enzymes, because I think that's a concept that a lot of people don't understand about how you can actually kill cancer with enzymes.
Yes.
And how does that work again?
Well, as Dr. William Kelly proved with 33,000 patients that he helped, and Dr. John Beard before him, the trophoblast cells that are actually the precursor to cancer-causing cells are killed by digestive enzymes that contain the enzyme chymotrypsin, especially, given between meals. But it's not just enough to take those enzymes. You also have to detoxify the carcinogenic chemicals that are causing the cancer as well. And
well, now, wait a minute. Is that just an ordinary enzyme that you can buy in the health food store, like the one that says, you know, for the digesting proteins and carbohydrates? And
well, the cheapest product that I found that has this chemical or this digestive enzyme is Wobenzym, a digestive enzyme from Germany.
Wobenzym, spell that for us.
Wobenzyme.
And you have to get it out of Germany?
No, it's a digestive enzyme that's sold in most health food stores.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And how many do you take in between meals?
Well, if I was a listener, I would take 3 to 4 tablets between meals, three to four times a day. But that's not enough to reverse cancer. You also have to detoxify the chemicals that are causing the cancer. That's
right.
The reason that William Kelly had me come to Texas and speak to his people in regards to the chemicals that were involved in causing this transformation of the trophoblastic cells. And now that we have viruses that are causing cancer as well, that's another whole level, and there's other things you have to do for that. So the digestive enzymes will kill the trophoblast cells, but if you've already got them transformed into cancer cells, that's another whole ballgame.
Oh. Well, now, is this the kind of thing, you know, that is being done in some of the cancer institutes outside of America, like the Gerson Institute or the one that just got closed down, the one that Mrs. King was going to, Martin Luther King's wife?
Well, Martin Luther King's wife was going to was involved in these things, and that's the reason it was closed down. As far as I know, the Gerson Institute is only teaching people about juicing and different things of that nature that can be done to make you healthy. As far as I know, they don't do any detoxification, and that's why they haven't been closed down.
Oh, I thought that was part of their program, the detox, the Gerson Institute.
Well, detoxing, like, you can detox the liver, that's one thing, but to actually detox the viruses themselves is another whole ballgame. And the only thing that I've found that does that is homeopathic nosos, and I don't know if anybody else that does that besides myself. And the reason is because they will crush you if you do that.
Yeah. Well, you've had your own pretty frightening experiences with the government, haven't you?
Yes.
You want to share some of them, or would you rather not talk about it?
No, I'll talk about it. They took away my son, my only child, who is now 10 years old, and I was actually told by the judge in my last court appearance that if I don't stop doing my work, I'll never see my son again. And I told the judge I will not make a deal with the devil, and I haven't seen my son since that time. It's been about 3 years. He's now 10 years old. They took away my medical license, saying I have a delusion of conspiracy, although I've never had a single complaint by any patient or client I've ever helped. And this is what the medical mafia does to people like me. And that's what the listeners have to realize. They have to stand behind the people who are standing up and stepping out of the box. If you don't do that, you will end up having a problem, because the doctors who are going along with the program and who are actually killing people now, that's how bad it's gotten. The doctors in the hospitals are now killing the elderly. They're taking them out because the Medicare Trust Fund is broken. There's nothing but a giant IOU. And so they're actually killing these people. And I have lots of proof of that as well, as I go into the hospital with people as a patient advocate, checking out the medical records. And the most common ways they do this is by mismatched blood transfusions and giving them morphine to cause them to stop breathing.
Oh, really?
And everybody that I've talked to about these issues knows somebody that this has happened to.
Oh, disgusting.
Yeah.
It's like Nazi Germany.
Exactly. Well, people don't realize that many of the scientists in Nazi Germany were actually brought over here in Project Paperclip and are working in places like Brookhaven Labs and the Rockefeller Institute and different places like that, especially in Long Island, where I just recently escaped from. And they're actually using their scientific knowledge that they accumulated in Nazi Germany to cause many of these different things that are occurring, especially in terms of mental illness diagnosis. There is no such thing. Mental illness is a nutritional deprivation or a toxicity, or in some cases a spiritual situation. But if you read the book Mass Murders and White Coats by Lenny LaPone, you will actually realize what the whole mental illness diagnosis industry is about. And, of course, President Bush is now trying to get children diagnosed as mentally ill in schools so that they can be forced to be given different drugs, including Ritalin, which is actually cocaine and things of that nature. Yes.
I had no idea. I know.
Most people don't.
Holy mackerel. What you're saying is making me absolutely speechless, and I'm assuming that you have all the research and the records to prove what you're saying.
Yes, I do. If I didn't have the research, I wouldn't be discussing it. And once again, I encourage the listeners to go to my website, drcarley.com, drcarley.com, and read my papers, Inoculations, the True Weapons of Mass Destruction, as well as my response to the CDC, where I quote the medical books themselves in terms of what the inoculations are doing to the immune system, and read it for yourself and you know, ask yourself, don't believe me, because there's a lie in the middle of the word belief. You have to start checking these things out for yourself and finding out if, in fact, these things are true. And asking yourself, why is there such an epidemic of all these diseases in the world today? If, in fact, our government has an interest in curing disease, why are the diseases getting worse?
Well, they definitely are. I mean, it used to be, I mean, when I was a kid growing up, there was, you know, if somebody came down with cancer, it was shocking.
Yes.
You know, it rocked the community, and now every other person has cancer.
Right.
Every other person.
Well, see, that's what people have to realize, is that all these different organizations, the American Cancer Society, the Multiple Sclerosis Society, all these different agencies, they're actually in place to prevent the cures from becoming knowledgeable to the public. That's what they're doing. Because, you see,
How do they do that, Rebecca?
Well, by distracting people from the actual cause, by not talking about what the actual situation is. They have these breast cancer walks, especially. I mean, many years ago, there was 1 in 8 women that had breast cancer. Now I think it's up to 1 in 4. And they talk about how they're actually, you know, promoting the cure and finding the cause. Why is the rate of cancer going up if they're doing any of the above? The answer is that they're not doing any of the above. They're distracting people from the actual cause of breast cancer. And, of course, in breast cancer, we have pesticides as a major factor. Pesticides are synthetic estrogen that actually are like gasoline to a fire in terms of promoting breast cancer. And we have many different communities that are being sprayed with pesticides because the people are being scared and told, oh, the mosquitoes are a danger.
Right.
When in reality, the mosquitoes have nothing to do with causing disease in comparison to the white coats. As I always say, the mosquitoes have a little bit of virus they may inject into you with their proboscis, but the white coats have a syringe. And what do you think is the, you know, danger? The mosquito or the white coat? It's self-evident.
It certainly is. And
yeah.
It's so exasperating to listen about this because we all feel so helpless and hopeless. You know, I mean, the system is so controlling. I mean, medical schools don't get funded unless they're writing prescriptions. I mean, the pharmaceutical industry controls all the medical schools.
And that's why people have to stand up and say they're not going to be part of it anymore. They're going to learn about what actually causes disease and take their power back and learn how to prevent disease and learn how to take natural supplements that are actually going to cure their illnesses, as opposed to the white coat prescriptions that may mask the symptoms, but in many cases don't. They actually make the problem worse, but at the very least, they're going to give you side effects, and you're going to have a problem down the line.
Well, I'll tell you, I know that we could talk for another 2 hours because you have so much knowledge, Rebecca, and I just want to thank you for being on the show. This has been Rebecca Carley, and please go to her website and read the research that she's done on the vaccine-induced diseases and the true cause of or the prevention from diseases being cured that are manifested by the various pharmaceutical companies. I mean,
And let me also say, Lexi, I once again put out my offer that I will give a reward to any white coat, be they a pharmaceutical minion or a pediatrician or a CDC official or a American Medical Association individual, anybody whatsoever that wants to come on any show and debate me on these issues, I will pay them to do so. I've been offering this for 8 years, and so far nobody's willing to do so. Apparently they're afraid for some reason.
Oh, absolutely. They're all afraid of losing their jobs.
Yes.
Well, listen, we're going to have to say goodnight. We've run out of time, but I just want to thank you again for having the courage to tell the truth and for spending this time with us on BBS Radio. And this has been Lexi Roth with Health Frontiers.
You're very welcome, and God bless you for your work.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.